Happy Monday, boys and girls. My name is Jeffrey Scott Mitchell. Jeffrey Pure Funk Mitchell. Coming to you live on Memorex from an undisclosed location. Default route. I feel good, and there's reasons why I feel good. Last night, I'm scrolling through my news feed as I always do, because I'm primarily a Facebook-only person. I know Facebook is for old people. Well, I'm old. And I saw where Mr. Garrett Schider released a video. And what caught my eye was a picture of Mr. Lige Curry. That was what triggered me. And when I say triggered, I mean triggered. I was like, what? And the pictures just kept cycling through of different P-Funk members. And I read the caption, and Mr. Schider went on to say that he could finally release some information like that. That's about as far as I got. That's about as far as I got before my funk rocket took off. Before my mothership fired up its engines and was getting ready to go already. When I see Mr. Curry's picture and then I think Greg Thomas, Greg Boyer, Benny Cowan, Benzel Cowan, of course, Mr. Michael Hampton, did I say Greg Thomas, and Danny Bedrosian. It started, you know where all this started kind of for me? All this became recognizable and started at the Soul Food Crab Fest. They had like a Soul Food Crab Fest. I think it was in Lothian, Maryland or someplace. And the thing about that, it got canceled and moved to October after I got airfare and all this and all that. But I ended up getting there anyway. The thing about that Soul Food Crab Fest that kind of made me realize and recognize some things was that they showed the lineup for it. They showed the lineup, like who was going to be there. And I noticed that it was so many.
Wait.
It was so many P-Funk players. I guess I can actually say P-Funk All-Stars. And I'm like, wait a minute. They having this little, well, not little, but you know, they having this thing, this show, and so many P-Funk alumni players was gonna be there. I was like, this is almost like a superstar lineup. And that's when I realized that some people or some events can have so many principal P-Funk players to make them significant. And how they, you know, play around the different configurations of members that come together for different events. So, of course, you know, we got the 420 Funk Mob, which is probably the ultimate collaboration. We got them. And then, I mean, as an entity. Yo, whoa, whoa. We got them as an entity. You know, as a proven entity, I could say. I can even say a proven entity. So, and that's part, that is the ultimate lineup. That is the ultimate lineup. But sometimes an event can occur where so many of the band is together. Because at that Soul Food Crab Fest, I was like, that's the whole P-Funk lineup. Did you have drums? The only thing you didn't have was bass. But it wasn't as much as this one. So now, that's when I started to see that where you could get the core of George Clinton and Parliament Funkadelic playing in other configurations. So when I saw that, and it included Mr. Curry, that's the one right there. That's the one. The rest of them cats I didn't see before, and I'm kind of saying that, you know, sarcastically to be funny. The rest of them cats I didn't see before, blah blah blah. But to see Mr. Curry out there, that's gonna be something. That's gonna be something. Because you can remember him and his cousin, Mr. Michael Hampton, together at the Funketeers Ball with their drummer, Mr. Cowan, 10, 15 years. Mr. Bajosian, the horns. What else is there? Well, guitar. Well, you got a guitar. You got Mr. Scheider. Now, see, I'm gonna say something stupid, because that's just what I do. You know, might as well. It's almost blasphemous to say it. Not blasphemous, but, you know, I kind of doesn't want to say it, but I don't want to be the kind of person to say, well, if they get Blackbird there, whoo. I mean, you got to say it, though. I can't shy away from it. I got to say it. You know, I got to at least put that on the table. If they was to get Blackbird there, oh, my God, that would be the other guitar. But, you know, you got to put that out there in the universe. It feels funny saying it, though, because I'm so appreciative of the lineup that's already in place by saying if he could get, if so-and-so would have been there, it kind of almost demeans the event, and I don't want to do that. Because I'm thinking from what I'm seeing, he was including other people. Some quote-unquote, ain't no quote-unquote, some non-P-Funk people, some straight-out non-P-Funk people, he kept saying they're going to be there, these people going to be there, these people going to be there, blah, blah, who these people are and all that. But I didn't even realize he never said who his band was going to be. It just said Groove Allegiance. So I figured, maybe the Clones of Funk, you know, Ter Holland and Robert Woods and John and all them, or whoever backing them up. You know, maybe even some Tony Cam or whatever. You know, I figured it'd be the Funketeers Ball stage band or whatever you want to call it, house band. But no. This lineup. And again, it was at that Soul Food Crab Fest thing that I realized that you can get these P-Funk players, the people who play it better than anybody in the world, together in these different configurations, outside of Mr. Clinton and what they do. Because what Mr. Clinton and the mother band, what P-Funk does, it's different. It's not the same. You listen to the music, it's not the same thing. They're definitely playing P-Funk music. And it's definitely on the one. And it definitely has that feel. And it's there. And you know, I don't miss none of them. I'm near at all of them. And it still moves me. Oh, how the music moves me. But it's different. It may be a different style or something. And I think that style is different because of mainly, well, I know it's different because of the audience. The audience, the time, and maybe even the size of the audience. And some people say it's because of Mr. Clinton's age. Speaking of Mr. Clinton, a cousin asked me, one of my cousins asked me, out of the blue, you know, we don't usually be having a conversation, but out of the blue, she messaged me, and it was so out of the blue, I thought she'd been hacked or something. Because I usually don't get messages from her. She was like, I think she asked me, how many original members are left in P-Phone? Or something like that. Or is George the only one left? Or something like that. I was like, Had to think about it. And in conclusion, I mean, not in conclusion, but to kind of cut to the end and then maybe bounce back, Mr. Clinton is the only one. When you say original, and I told her, I said, I didn't think, it depends on what you mean by original. If you mean original, original, Mr. Clinton is the only one. Back to the parliament days, and Plainfield, and Billy Basin, Tiki and all them. You know, that original, how far original you want to go back? I told her, I said, some of the band members in there, been there for 30 years. Is that original? You know, what actually is original? There's different degrees of original in this thing, especially the way we study it and, you know, evaluate it and scrutinize it. What is original? Because I remember that time when Billy Bass Nelson told me that Gary Shatter wasn't funk. I'm like, what? That was just mind blowing. I had no idea what he was talking about. Back then, I didn't know the things that I know now. So I had no concept of what he meant or what. But now I see what he's saying. Now I completely understand when he says original and that funk and the funk and funkadelic where he comes from and that group, that core group way back then at the very beginning. Of course, Mr. Gary Shider and all them coming in late. I can see where he would make that distinction. And I'm not saying good or bad, up or down, left or right. That being all subjective, but you can validly make that claim. So I'm thinking, Mr. Clinton is the only one left. That just hit me like 3 days ago. I didn't even notice, it's just all a blur. Like Mr. Curry been there for so long, Mr. Thomas been there for so long. When I realized that Mr. Thomas was singing Knee Deep since 1989, I'm like, Jesus Christ. That was him in 1989. You know, Mr. Hampton was there since he was 17. He been there so long, I can't even think to put him in this category. He's just there. He's on the album cover. And he's not original. Kinda. No, he's not original. Eddie Hazel was the guitar player. See, there's different degrees of original. But I guess if you want to go original, Mr. Clinton is the only one left. And I have to all but bend the knee again to Mr. Clinton for keeping this shit going. I mean, it hit me that, you know, he's the only one left. And he's the one making it go. And he's the drive behind it. And it's George Clinton and the Parliament of Funkadelic. And all the kids, the people who buying most of the tickets and making these shows happen, are coming to see George Clinton. Again, I've said it a few times before, I'm a genius. When I first heard Mothership Connection, I said, this is it. Whatever this is, whoever's doing this, whatever this is about, this is something special. I had no idea it would be this special. It would go on this long and be thriving this much. But I picked the right one. As soon as I heard that, it's like nothing I've ever heard before. It touched me in a way like nothing ever has. And I remember having to stop and reevaluate what was going on while I was sitting there listening to it. And it was before drugs, before anything. It was before I was smoking on anything or doing anything. I heard that music. I had to have that A-track. After hearing that, I had to have that A-track. Took it home, studied it. 50 years later, I'm still here. We're still here. Mr. Clinton's still here. That music is still here. That thing is still here. And I think I heard Mr. Garrett Scheider say on a podcast, on Zach Robertson's podcast this weekend, that this is bigger than all of us. Pete Funk is bigger than all of us. And that's been my take from day one. I worship the music and the philosophy, not necessarily any individual in the group. I don't even think I worship the band. In fact, I know I don't. I worship what they do, the religion of it, the philosophy, the music, that celebration, that energy, that's what I worship. And I love the band and every member in it. But it's different. What I have for them and what I have for P-Funk. For P-Funk, not the band. And Mr. Clinton keeping it going, and to have this, to have Mr. Scheider, Mr. Garrett Scheider come out and do this. And the whole thing, I had made a video. I said in this video that Garrett Scheider was the best choice for the Funketeers Ball. I said it. This is before I even knew what band he was going to have, before anything. I knew it. I said he was the best choice to headline the Funketeers Ball of everybody out there. This one is the... I'm hearing rumors that this one might be, well, it's definitely Precious. I'm hearing rumors that this might be it. That, you know, it's unsure how it's gonna continue. You know, might have to strike up some funding or something to keep this thing going. The George H. Darden Funketeers Ball, they dedicated it to George Darden, who built this thing and put it together. Chocolate City Alliance put together a marketing team and organizational team and put it on 8 years. I think I went to 7 of them. So this is very probably... They know very probably about it. It's always a significant event, but it may even be more significant, depending on how history goes or how history winds up. So I'm happy. I'm very happy. I'm very happy. Funketeers Ball, I mean, it's exciting to go there and see everybody, all the Funketeers from all over the country or all over the world. We meet up in a hotel, just, you know, have our meet and greet, do what we do, fellowship, then go to the ball, come together. And for me in the past, and I'm saying this, putting out the universe, it was P-Funk only. The DJs, and the DJs to everything. It was P-Funk only. It was Pete Bunk. You know what, too? I'll admit it. I like Garrett Shider. And I probably take it easy on him. I go soft on him because I like him. And I am. I'll admit it. I'll admit it. For whatever reason, he doesn't elicit the full strength of my scrutiny and criticism, and sometimes overly dramatic interpretations to trigger people of his actions that I can do sometimes. I don't sensationalize and just say crazy shit about him, because I like Mr. Shider. And he's sensitive. He ain't like the rest of them. So I may be getting old, getting soft, holding back on niggas when it comes to the funk, because I'm in a very good place right now, funk-wise. I'm fulfilled, I'm happy. I've got mine. I feel like I've been to the mountaintop. So I'm like, hey, it could be some of that. Because even LA Maggots last week, or whatever I saw, I was like, how the hell can they be this good? I'm like, all these bands just can't continue to be this good. I'm like, I mean, all this P-Funk I'm hearing, and basically all I do is go see P-Funk. I don't go see nothing else. From George Thunder to them, 420 Funk Ma, to the LA Maggots, all of them playing at what I feel is the highest level. I'm like, all of them can't be. It got to be me. It's got to be my attitude and my disposition. It has to play a part in it. Because it's impossible for human beings to maintain such a high level of execution of the music across the board like that. I love it. I love it. This is my life. This is what I chose. This is what I chose. All through high school, I was P-Funk. I was P-Funk. And this is what I chose. Now I'm getting very tired. And they still playing the music. I'm still hearing the music. I got the music around me. And I must reiterate, and I don't think I can overstate this, I have the music around me being played the way I think it should be played. Ain't none of this We All The World bullshit. Everybody gets a trophy for participation. No. There's ways you can play the music that is quote-unquote wrong. And I can say wrong or right because I'm talking about my subjective opinion. I can say wrong or right in this situation because I'm talking about how I feel. And that's it. I'm not talking about the big wrong or the big right on like a universal platform or for everybody. It's talking about for me. To have the LA Maggots play that music to where I can listen to it and not find any, well, I can definitely find peculiarities. But not to find, because if it ain't played right, I'll cringe. I realize that too. If it ain't right, I know it. And I don't want to make that sound like it's braggadocious, because I don't mean it that way. Just because I've seen them 200 times and I'm trained, you know, to hear the music a certain way or whatever. You know, I mean, something inside me clicks or snaps or ew. You know, I get, like, not like hair on the back of my neck, but, you know, ugh. Whoa, it hurts. It literally hurts. If you get off beat or wrong note or something out of place, It literally hurts. Because a lot of times I close my eyes and I'm releasing myself. I'm freeing myself up. I put myself at mercy of the music. I'm just like floating on it. I'm letting it get so deep inside of me that I'm relying on the music to do, quote unquote, what it's supposed to do in my mind or be where it's supposed to be. And I can close my eyes and just, you know, I'm just like so connected or in tune with it or riding on it that where the music has the control. And if something goes wrong or something ain't right or something gets, you know, off note or off beat or something, that shit hurts. I snap out of it and that shit hurts. But because of the people around me, the people I've evolved to meet, and the LA Maggots thing we created out here, however it got created, whatever it is, and then we had to go back east and hang out with the cats back there, Clones of Funk people. I mean, when I first saw the Clones of Funk, that was a revelation. I told that story a few times before. And then the Funketeers Ball, and the Brides of Funkestown played the Funketeers Ball, Don Silva and them. Even Detroit got involved, Gabe Gonzalez played it. Tony Cam and them, and just Boosie was there one time. And then to hook up with the East Coast cats and hang out with them. And it was humbling because what happened was I woke up one morning and I wrote this thing up about the Funketeers Ball, or I made a video or something about the Funketeers Ball, this or that, or made a big video or something. You know, and it went out and it was getting hits and likes. And then I checked my email, I think a day or so later, I checked my email. It was a Funketeers Ball email. And I'm in the picture. I'm in like the insert in the picture of the Funketeers Ball email, front and center. A picture we took back there with the Clones of Funk and people hanging out. I was like, I wrote all this stuff up praising and talking about the Funketeers Ball before I even saw that picture. That's the life I'm living. That's the life I've always wanted. And that's what I mean when I say there's nothing greater than a person becoming the thing or that or the person that they want to be. There's nothing better than someone becoming the person, thing, or that which they want to be, that they always desired to be. And I'm that. I even think I carved out a niche to be Jeffrey Pure Funk Mitchell, P-Funk 1. Just far enough outside of everything, but close enough to it to have my own platform, to have autonomy, yet acquaintance, and to have a voice. I am gonna cry. Cardinal Mooney Study Hall, 1979. When I grow up, I'm gonna move to California and I'm gonna be a studio engineer for Parliament Funkadelic. I wanna work in music when I grow up. Could this be me? Anyhow, and when I saw Mr. Curry, I was like, what? In fact, as soon as I get off here, I'm going to send him a text. As soon as I get off here, I got to reach out. As soon as I get off here, I got to reach out to make sure this is going down. I do. Oh, my God. Oh my God. Because see, the rest of the cast I didn't see before. You know, I mean, I didn't see them all before. But at the Funkatious Ball, and see Mr. Carey hit the book. I gotta verify this. I don't want to get too high and too excited about it until I'm sure. Or at least to have him bark at me for something. Well, I don't know if he still bark anymore, but I kind of miss that bark. He'd be like, he basically like, calm down. Relax. Calm down, dude. He'd be like, calm down, man. I'm just doing this. Like, I'll be like, ah, nah, nah. You're like, man. Oh, man, that's good. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. Oh, my. Oh, my. Anyhow, swing on y'all two times. For me, and for that funk. For that pure funk. For that Parliament Funkadelic funk. Oh, my God. That I love and cherish and that sustains me. It's my worship. That's where a lot of my faith, if you can call it that, because for lack of a better word, a lot of my faith in spirituality, the celebration of my faith in spirituality lie in the P-Funk music and philosophy. And to have it still being played back to me by the people who play it the best in the world on a fairly regular basis. Ain't much more than that, y'all. Anyhow, swinging on y'all. I forgot where it was again. Two times, maybe three. Yeah. I could be a girl, a boy, I'd be a toy. We can funk. I'll be a big, strong man. I'll be a boy, a girl, I'll be a toy. We can funk with Prince and Mr. Clinton. That was a good song. Anyhow, swing on y'all two times. For me, for the funk. For every elementary particle that's ever existed in any atom in this or any universe that ever was, is, or will be, a totality of it all, hypothesis of all as one, theory of universe. My name is Jeffrey Pure Funk Mitchell.